He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning, a very active day, not passive by any means. This is the Monday morning, March the 2nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. You know, the markets could be a whole lot worse. The Dow right now is down 135 points, which ain't much. It's at 48,842. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ is down 74 points right now. That's only a third of a percent, and it is at 22,594. The S&P 500 is down 20 points. That's 30 basis points. That puts the S&P at 68.58. And the small caps, they're probably taking it the worst here today. Not even down a percent, however, down 0.8% to 2,610. And it should come as no surprise that oil is jumping today. We have some exposure to those oil stocks. Crude oil is up 5.7% today, and we're getting a big bounce in gold, which we also have exposure to. It's up 1.9% today. Silver's down 3.26%, and people definitely not rushing into Bitcoin for a flight to safety. Bitcoin is up just $258 today to $67,223. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show in an active, not passive world. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Let's pick up, Barry.
Yeah,
where we left off on Friday, we had that hotter-than-expected PPI report. I wrote in my last little message that I sent out on Friday, I said, a hotter-than-expected PPI report, more ripples in the private credit markets, and war drums beating in the vicinity of Iran all led to a down day in the market on Friday. And, you know, those war drums, it was becoming pretty obvious. In fact, I thought this would be the weekend that they attack. And it was the weekend because Iran just, Iran, I get somebody gets after Iran. Me for calling it Iran. It's Iran. What's left of Iran?
It's been a few things over the years. It's been a few things.
Yes. And, I mean, I guess the shocking part for me on Saturday was it wasn't that long before we got the news that the Ayatollah. Look, we've dealt with the Ayatollah for four decades. This is his fifth decade. The guy's 86 years old. And I remember being in gas lines back in the 70s, waiting for gasoline with the Iran oil embargo. The guy has been nothing but trouble. No mas, he's gone. And that, I think, was probably the most shocking part of this whole thing, of how quickly the regime, the head of the snake, was taken out. And, you know, I just felt all along, once they took the head of the snake out of Hezbollah, of course, they're still an organization, but they're nothing like they were. Once they took him out and once they got the head of Hamas, that really, really cripples an organization. And now, you know, you've got a vacuum of leadership there in Iran. We'll just see what the people of Iran, hopefully, what they determine. So there's some geopolitical risk in the market today.
Well, and it goes to show you, certainly the Israeli intelligence in terms of having, you know, all of those all of their leadership essentially in one meeting in the daytime, right? And, you know, I guess they, a little bit of hubris, I guess they're thinking that we don't tend to attack in the daytime. And, finished that, at least that part of this event, happened rather quickly.
Yeah, it was 9:45 a.m. on Saturday, Iran time, when they were hit. and they were hit with, you know what? You may as well, if you're going to do it, you may as well unleash the power of the U.S. military instead of just, you know, dinking around with it, and that's what they did. Now, the risk probably, I honestly don't think as of now this is a major risk to the markets, to the stock market, to earnings at certain companies, a lot of these companies, etc. But, you know, it is going to cause some disruption here, and there is a risk of some unfortunate events around the world, including here in the U.S. I mean, you had the little one there in Austin, Texas over the weekend, and there could be more here in the U.S. You know, the Straits of Hormuz, they've got those closed. I imagine our warships are there to keep them open at some point. A lot of oil flows through there, and you've seen a huge oil premium.
You see the gas prices in Europe, so natural gas prices have skyrocketed mainly because I think I think a Qatari closed one of their LNG facilities for the moment. I know there's another refinery that was kind of attacked in Saudi Arabia, and it was just it's interesting where it's almost just like they just hitting buttons and shooting missiles all over the region. I mean, people who have been, you know, not necessarily their allies per se, but people who have, you know, kind of negotiated on their behalf, right? I think Oman got hit. They were just
Bahrain got hit. Yeah, Dubai got hit.
Yeah, so
the United Arab Emirates got hit. Now, I can just say that, you know, in an active world, we obviously saw this coming. And, you know, in an active world, we have a portfolios. Our portfolios are positioned for an active world. We had somebody at the workshop say, aren't you concerned about having a high percent of cash in your portfolios? You know, they're up around 50%, I guess, somewhere in there. I'd have to look. It goes portfolio by portfolio. But that's just because I can't find anything that meets all of my criteria, especially from a technical point of view right now. So, no, I'm not worried. And by the way, I'm unconstrained. I don't have to be 100% invested at any given point in time. So, number one, with this conflict, we have a high degree of cash. That's a great hedge. That's the number one hedge. Number two, I saw the oil stocks rising in rank here several weeks ago. They've now become probably the best sector in the entire market, along with the precious metals. So we have a pretty strong, exposure to oil and gas, which is doing very well. Those stocks are hitting new highs. Number three, we have a very good exposure to the precious metals, which are always a hedge against this kind of thing. That's also a reflection of the active world that we saw coming into 2026. And number four, well, I'm going to give you five. Number four, we own a big position in Raytheon, which is a miracle stock, really. I mean, Raytheon is to the defense industry, I suppose, what Lilly is to the drug industry. It is the dominant player. And I know Lockheed Martin's getting a lot of play here today with, having to restock a lot of supplies. But Raytheon is the defense. The defense. When they can't stop your air power and their ballistic missiles can't get through your shields, you can thank Raytheon a lot for that. And Raytheon's breaking out this morning. Number five, we have a hedge on the NASDAQ and PSQ, which is inverse the NASDAQ. And we have a hedge against the financials, which are being hit for a different reason. And that's this whole private credit turmoil that is beginning to unfold. And I believe it's going to get much worse. So we're pretty well we're positioned pretty darn well there. We're only down, I think probably we've recovered even from where we were down this morning. We weren't even down 0.5%, which really is pretty mellow, pretty mild. Now we're down 0.6%.
Yeah, I was going to say basically almost dead flat.
Yeah, that's not bad, okay? And no, I don't feel bad about having a high degree of cash right now. Rare earth stocks are doing well. Palantir's up 4.5%. Coherence up 10.2%. We got some big winners in the market right now.
Palantir. I mean, when you see some of these missile defense systems and all that, right?
Palantir.
Of course, Palantir is in the mix there. And you know, we did have a couple of subscribers. You know, kind of message in. You know, should I sell everything with U.S. or
absolutely not?
No, right. The answer to that one is no. I mean,
let CENTCOM do his thing here. Yeah. You know, to position the portfolio for incoming and put up some sandbags around the trading desk here. And we feel like we're very, very well positioned. We could even go positive here before the day is up. Maybe even before we come back from break. We'll just have to see. But I feel just totally confident and comfortable where we're sitting right now. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you've got an analyst out there. I think he's got it right. Stephen Glass from Pella Funds. I don't know Pella Funds. I don't know Stephen Glass. But he's big enough to be interviewed on CNBC. And he says that investors should shift their attention away from Middle East tensions and focus instead on the disruption posed by artificial intelligence and vulnerabilities in private credit markets. Well, you know, I'm looking at those private credit stocks. They're doing okay. I mean, the market has staged somewhat of a comeback here. It was down quite a lot in the after hours. I think at one point the Dow was down 800 points, maybe something like that. Quite a bit.
I saw one of these headlines. It was like Dow falls. You know, it was like Dow crushed 500 points.
Yeah,
so I was that's like a percent.
That's
1%.
Clickbait. We're down 0.4, 0.04 of 1%.
Four basis points.
Yes. I mean, we're almost even, and I think maybe by the time the show is over, we'll go positive. But I agree. I think the bigger threat, well, I don't know about that. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns. We don't know. I'm sure they've got terror cells here in the U.S., but they lack leadership. So now you got all these lone wolves out there, I suppose.
Yeah, and Russia, it's been interesting. I mean, it seems Russia and China have seemed to be pretty quiet. I haven't really seen any even a soundbite from them, honestly, as we've gone. Doesn't mean they haven't. It could have just not been covered so far, but I really, you know, they've been eerily silent in terms of, renouncing it or what have you.
Well, we've got a player on the San Diego Padres. His name is Gavin Sheets. When he comes up to bat, they chant, "Holy Sheets, Holy Sheets." I got to believe that Russia and China are looking at the firepower that was unleashed, and they're going, "Holy Sheets, Holy Sheets, you know, this is, I don't know. Go ahead, invade Taiwan, see what happens." I don't know. I mean, it's the way to fight a war, it seems to me.
Yeah, and it's new modern. I mean, we're using, you know, I've read about, you know, us using, you know, some attack drones that we haven't used before, right? I mean, there's, you know, so you're, you know, some of this stuff, you're using it as a, you know, as a way to kind of, you know, either, you know, flex your muscle or see what, you know, or, you know, show yourselves what you're capable of, right?
I mean, yep. And I do think there's going to be some risk-on stocks that I might have to desert here until things blow over. Not too many. There were a few there on the edge, on the cusp of breaking down below their lines in the sand. And it's best to just move away from those until the dust clears. And if they start to come back, they start to come back. And if they don't, they don't. Markets can weather Iran shock. says Steve Bryce. Okay, he's with Standard Charter. They're pretty sharp people. Markets are weathering the unprecedented geopolitical shock from Iran tensions relatively well, with equity declines staying contained at around 2%. Buy the dip seems to still be the case, although we've been in a sideways trend in the NASDAQ, especially for several months now. But dips within that sideways trend have been buying opportunities, but not in everything. It depends on the stock. And we still have, maybe you could make the argument that with the oil prices going up like they are, maybe and the PPI coming in a little bit hotter on Friday, I suppose that there's some risk to inflation. But it seems to me that it would be transitory, which we were told the first round was, until it got to 10%.
The old T word.
Then it was not transitory anymore. It was here to stay. There's a big difference between transitory and here to stay. We had a relative. He lived in some small town in Montana. And he would show up at the Greyhound bus depot in San Diego, you know, around August to come down and stay with Uncle Marv, you know, in San Diego. And he had a suitcase, and it was tied up with rope. He was quite a character. And we found out, you know, this isn't transitory. He's here to stay. Until my father said, come on, I'm going to give you a ride back to the bus station. This is about after 2 weeks. You know, it didn't look like he was going to move. Some cousin, some
couch surfing. That's couch surfing.
Yeah, some second cousin from some little town in Montana, a distant relative, a shirt tail relative. But, I learned the word transitory back when I was about 12, 13 years old when that guy would come. Let's see, maritime insurers, no, you're not getting insurance, sorry. They pull that, the majority of the world, and by the way, those shipping stocks, that's one of the hottest
the
sector in
well,
the
Well, you mentioned it, when we were in Houston, we were in a meeting, and you've been watching shipping stocks, and we were like, you know, talking about the fact that just means that it's getting closer and closer to potentially something brewing, so.
Yep, 100%. You learn a lot by looking at charts in the stock market. It was really quite evident that this was going to break because those shipping stocks, they were breaking out. And I guess, you know.
And they're volatile, warning-wise. You know, if anyone out there is playing with the shipping stocks, they go up and down pretty quickly.
Yeah. And, I mean, if we were to blast through the blockade in that Straits of Hormuz right now, I mean, those shipping stocks would go down all of a sudden. But right now, they're trading at a premium. They should be, and they can't get insurance going through that area. And, of course, Iran's Revolutionary Guard says that no ship is allowed to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. So stocks like Maersk, Zim, Frontline, on and on, they're doing pretty good here today. And, of course, the oil stocks, especially the liquid natural gas stocks, I saw a breakout last week in LNG, which is Cheniere. Lockheed's breaking out today. It's up 7%. Raytheon's up 6% today, breaking out. EOG, which is a big natural gas stock, is breaking out. Devon Energy, always there. And we talked to some people in the refinery business while we were in Houston, and they're doing very well right now, the refiners. It's a favorable atmosphere. And, of course, you've got these big oil equipment companies like Halliburton and Schlumberger and Baker Hughes. They're also doing very good right now. You're seeing the drone stocks, too, heating up. And, you know, they're saying this is probably the first time that really technology, our superior technology, how important is that? Is leading the way in this war. And, you know, I mean, look at it. There's no boots on the ground. There's no troops landing on Iran and storming the capital. It's all being done by technology, laser-guided, AI-guided, I'm sure, drones, missiles shot from warships far offshore. It's a different kind of world that we live in today. And still, Hezbollah and Tehran rule out any talks with the U.S. Well, you think they'd have to cry uncle at some point in time. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And we line up our next trip. It's looking like Sarasota, maybe 5-6 weeks from now, headed down there. And then we'll see where we go from there. We kind of play it by ear here, but we had a great trip to Houston. I can't wait to go back. We had a good workshop turnout. We met with a lot of great people. It was a very nice venue attached to that great Houston Galleria Mall with all those designer. I'm definitely not going to bring my wife on one of those trips with all those.
It could get expensive. Yeah,
yeah.
Real quick.
I mean, with that credit card, holy cow! A lot of Dolce Gabbana and I don't know. You know all those names more than I do. Every store in there was a designer store.
Your LVMH, Louis Vuitton, they were
everywhere.
Well represented, right? But the it's always great. I mean, we talk about it every time we go to Detroit. We learn a good bit about the auto industry.
Yep.
Going to Santa Clara and in the Bay Area, learning about the tech industry. And then, going to Houston had a lot of folks that are in the petrochemical arena and oil and gas, and it was great to get some background from them. Really,
yes, it really was, and because it's a major part, it's a big part of our. And we went to Cleveland. There's a heavy medical presence there.
That's true.
The Cleveland Clinic and everything. And
you've got McKesson? Isn't McKesson pretty big? I think I know they have. I don't know if it's their headquarters, but I know they've got a big regional office there.
Yep. So every place we go to, we have a lot of fun and learn a lot about the local economy, the folks, the restaurants, everything, the vibe. Iran strikes Europe. Yeah, talk about boots on the ground. Europe's all worried about Russia, which they should be. But Iran strikes Europe for the first time and hits Saudi Aramco refinery. So if they think that they're safe from Iran, I mean, they're praising this action. I heard Stormer from UK this morning praising what's going on there. They weren't part of the attack. They want to make that very clear. But they're providing bases, I guess, in the region for us to use. And, of course, they're a big threat. Iran's a big threat to Europe. We have gold rising. Let's see. Let's take a look at gold right now. Gold is right now. And of course, gold has been a top performer. What can I say? It's at $5,349. Certainly does a lot better than Bitcoin.
Well, earlier today, it looked like it was almost going to be headed for a potential all-time high, but it looks like it turned a little bit back.
It's moderated a bit, which tells you that it's not as worried, at least for now, about the global conflict erupting. You're also seeing oil pull back a little bit. It's at $71.66 right now. You're going to see that at the gas pump. There's going to be an Iran premium showing up when you put premium in your tank. You'll see a jump in oil and gasoline prices here affecting you right at home. Okay, we've got, well, let's not forget, we're still in earnings season. Yes, we are. I did an update on earnings season in the newsletter over the weekend. I raised my target price a little bit for the S&P 500 over the next 12 months. Based on, you know, the rising earnings expectations, which are now up around 13 or 14% is where we're expected to come in versus this same quarter last year. So we're way ahead of schedule, as the Brits would say. Tomorrow we're going to get earnings from CrowdStrike. It's been pretty shaky recently, CrowdStrike has, along with the software stocks. Like I say, Palantir is the best software stock out there. It's proving it again today.
That's one thing we haven't seen is a cyber attack. You know, Iran, usually, you know, one of the things that they've kind of done over the years is, you know, some kind of disruptive cyber, you know, attack. And you know, that hasn't, well, at least we haven't heard of any of that materializing at this point. So.
No, I heard that Anthropic, or I think it was Anthropic, was down
it was last night, but it might have been an internal thing. Right.
Okay, Target's
probably ran out of power, you know.
Maybe. They need more power.
Blackout.
Guy's pedaling his bike as fast as he can and not producing enough electricity. Tomorrow we're going to see some Minneapolis, speaking of cities that we visit, companies reporting. Target's going to report. It's been not a good stock. Best Buy, not a good stock, is going to report. Best Buy, I believe, is headquartered
in Minneapolis.
Yeah. We're going to get the pride of Nashville, AutoZone, reporting tomorrow. Yeah. And then on Wednesday, a pretty big AI stock, Broadcom, is going to report. That will be a pretty big one to watch.
That'd be an interesting one, yeah. I mean, it's teetered a little bit back and forth. We've owned it off and on. I mean, it's not a terrible chip name, but it's you know, certainly, you know, hasn't been NVIDIA or even, I guess, AMD even lately. So
no, and it like yeah, it's been very volatile stock, but it is in the top five or six of all mm-hmm. of the semiconductor stocks,
right,
without a doubt. On Thursday, you're going to get Costco. That's somewhat of a bellwether. They've had some pretty rotten reports, not up to snuff for Costco, and it could just be the fact that you can't keep growing a big firm like that at double-digit rates. You're going to slow down.
Well, we made a donation there this weekend.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll help them for next quarter.
And then on Friday, you're going to get Embraer, EMBG, the Brazilian plane maker. Okay, Micron inaugurates a $2.8 billion chip facility in India. I think you're going to start seeing more memory chips coming online. Because the South Korean companies, they've got their lines, you know, going at full capacity, whatever that is. Of course, the Micron building a facility. They have a facility now, a $2.8 billion chip facility in India. And they've got the one that they're building in New York. So maybe we'll see some loosening up here in the memory markets, which have been a thorn in the side. If you're Dell, if you're Lenovo, if you're Hewlett-Packard, and you have to put these memory chips into your products.
It's been cutting into their margins pretty significantly.
Yeah. Yep. And there's a deal in the power patch. AES is being bought out by private equity, which a lot of that going on right now. And, of course, that private equity is pretty dicey. The private debt is the diciest part, though. Private debt. You know, they say right at the end of that Why Refi commercial that they play constantly, which I think is going to not end well, they say make sure you get the private placement memorandum before you invest. Well, Barry, they have to do that, right? I mean, you have to be an accredited. That ought to tell you something. And you're going to get a private placement memorandum. when you invest in YREFI. That means that you're supposed to be, you know, I don't know what the
accredited. Supposed to be liquid, yeah. I mean, you got to hit those criteria. 500
grand or something like that.
Yeah, you got to hit the criteria in terms of liquidity, net worth, or you know, investment experience, what have you. So, it tells you that it's certainly not for everybody. And so the problem is, right? Some of these things are in kind of a mutual fund structure or an ETF structure, or even just buying, say, a stock like Blue Owl, right? Where, those aren't private placements, but buyer beware at the same time.
Yes, I mean, anytime you hear a private placement memorandum, that's high risk. Cameco signs a $1.9 billion uranium supply deal with India. Okay, Cameco, which is the former Westinghouse, it's 49% of Westinghouse, and I did see that Cameco was up this morning. I want to look at that, and of course, Cameco is also a big uranium. That's a nice move in Cameco today, which is another one that we own. Like I say, I mean, I feel like we're pretty well positioned given all of the events taking place in the world right now. And I have no regrets about having a good deal of cash sitting on the sidelines at the current time. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we do have a few other stocks here in the news today. We just talked about Cameco. NVIDIA in focus as Morgan Stanley moves back to top pick in the semis over Micron. They like NVIDIA better than Micron. That's coming from Morgan Stanley. And we are writing up a report on NVIDIA with our current take on the stock. That should be out sometime this week. Make sure that you follow us at Seeking Alpha, and you'll get an alert when one of our articles hits. And we've got about three lined up on the runway right now, and one of those is NVIDIA. I've been
looking
a little
like that
bit
runway when you were leaving Houston. How
yeah.
It was foggy when you were left that morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't bother those guys, so they're just boom right through it.
Yeah.
They're former pilots, you know, in the in the fighter jets and whatnot. They blew it right through it. And by the way, NVIDIA is up 2.1% today. It's bouncing hard off of its 50-day moving average, or is that the 200-day? Actually, it's 200-day moving average, which it has not challenged that in a long time. Were it to break below its 200-day moving average, that wouldn't be good from a technical point of view. The support for NVIDIA right now is at about 170. It's at 181, so it's $11 above that line in the sand, and it's having a very good day. It's up 2%, and I got to believe that's the news when a big firm like Morgan Stanley calls it their top pick in the semiconductor sector. Of course, I've been saying that for years now. That does move the stock, and it is moving it here today. It's having a very good day, up 2% on what could be a pretty bad day for the market, and it's turning into a pretty moderate day in the market right now. ASML plans to build tools for advanced packaging for AI chips. Let's just take a look at ASML in Taiwan and see how they're holding up during this duress. ASML is down 2% today. It recently hit an all-time high over 1,500. Now it's back down to 1,420. And Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, it's down 1.8%. 1% today. So there's some weakness in the chips today, but not in NVIDIA. Not for the best stock in the semi. And I always use the semiconductor sector as kind of an argument as to why I'm not a big fan of ETFs. There's only four or five good semiconductor stocks, so why do I want to own SMH, which has all the semiconductor stocks in it? I would rather just own the best ones in that sector at any given time. And I would say right now, the semiconductor sector is still one of the sectors in the market that is working. Obviously, the precious metals sector between the silver and the gold stocks, it's working. The oil and gas stocks, which is pretty unusual. We haven't seen that in a long time. That's another sector that is working. And not much else. No, that's right. Not much else. Healthcare, industrials, retail, consumer staples, consumer cyclicals, on and on and on. Not much else. Software not working in the market right now. And it's up to you. I mean, some people cast this big wide net and have exposure to all the sectors in the market. And my theory is, why water down your returns by having investments in, you know, a lot of these sectors that look horrible right now? The financials, definitely not working right now. We don't own one financial stock. When common wisdom, in quotation marks, on Wall Street would say, well, you should have something in every sector and be spread far and wide. The transportation's a terrible sector right now. The airline stocks are getting crushed. So, you know, I just believe in being an active manager, and as the world turns, you've got to turn a little bit yourself. Okay, let's take a look at a few more stories here before we run out of time. We did ASM lithography. DraftKings introduces a super app that combines sportsbook, predictions, casino, and lottery all in one app. Wow, you could lose your money five different ways from Sunday. And, you know, there's some controversy because there were a lot of bets that invade in Iran. You know, people with advanced knowledge of it.
I saw it was yesterday. I was looking on there, and it said you could bet on essentially who was going to predict. Let's don't say bet, predict who was going to be the next, you know, leader of Iran. And then, you know, bet basically by midday, like four of the names that were up there weren't there anymore because of
they were confirmed.
Yeah, so it's pretty wild watching those events. Prediction.
Yeah, there must be a lot of different propositions that are listed. I've never been to their website.
There's a lot of fine print, right? I've seen some things. You know, there's just they'll have like a speech, and it's how many times will Trump mention this, and then you got to look and see the real criteria of how it's got to be mentioned, and it's an investment. It's a read the fine print.
Yeah, and I know
just
that
like private credit.
The death of Khomeini was also a proposition bet too, and it was like 25% by the weekend, by the end of the weekend. Well, those people won some money. I hope they're happy winning money on somebody's death, but he's a pretty good guy to take out if you got to take somebody out.
Pick one.
He has been a thorn in the side of the world. Why we let that old guy with the scraggly beard that caused so much chaos and disruption in the world for 47 years is beyond me. Okay, we are out of time to get four free weeks of the newsletter, the live trades during times of turmoil like this. Go to GundersonCapital.com. And we have a lot of people that are saying, I'm just not really happy with where I'm at right now with my retirement funds. They never seem to be positioned right. Well, there's no guarantees. We're just going to do our best to try to keep you in the areas that are the best. Give us a call. Set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.